This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
I think we need the 9-digit access code for the webinar.
Good morning. We are now live, and we will now start the webinar. Good morning, and thank you all for attending.
Okay. Good morning. I'm sorry. Can we have the nine-digit
access code?
Yes. The nine-digit number is 463-2608-161. Then press pound.
I count 10 numbers there, but that's the one.
It is 10. Sorry okay. about that. It's 463. Do you have it?
463-2608-161.
That is correct.
That's for the
webinar.
This is the participant access code for the call.
Right, and what's the webinar 9-digit number?
The call number is 1-888-670.
Now, when you go to the GoToMeeting.com webinar homepage, it asks for a 9-digit number and then an email. I don't know the 9-digit
number that mine is showing is 108.
108.
Yes, ma'am. 108-062-107.
Thank you.
This will be the information contained in the link that asks you to sign up for the GoToMeeting.
Yes.
It will be that information.
It's unique.
No.
That was sent to you.
I have it, guys.
You're just
going
to
have the website. We had a shopping list of stuff.
No, but I don't see it there.
Some of this is going to be the same for both of us, right? Or is it going to be completely different?
Different.
Yeah.
And it's about August 29th. And I'm away the 22nd through the
26th. Oh, yeah.
In Atlanta for required FSA.
Were you able to find it?
Financial aid, because we offer Title IV
funding. Yes, we're logging on right now.
Okay. Please let me know once you've completed that.
Just hit OK. Just hit OK.
That's the webinar. For that number has already been completed. So do we have to log into the webinar website, GoToMeeting.com, in order to participate, or can we listen on the phone and use the slides provided?
Yes, it would have been sent to you. It was unique for your agency.
Okay, this is Frank Margiotta and Kathy Beam with Eastern Florida State College. We're on the webinar. We see it.
Yeah, this is Ronnie with FFA. I'm on the webinar, and maybe, Tashi, the other solution here so we can get going perhaps is I think your slides are already been presented to us in a PDF document, correct?
Correct. So you can listen live or you can actually tune in and follow the presentation. Either way, it's up to you.
Excuse me, can we not hear on the webinar? We have several people needing to take this training, and we've only got three lines in the building. Can we not hear on the webinar?
Just don't
three
work
lines
in the
building? It's all fun.
Can you all hear us now?
I can hear you. I don't want to hear you on my phone. I want to hear you on my computer. Can I not do that?
No, it's not possible.
That's why we're using conference call line.
Yes, that's why we're using conference call line.
Okay, but I have several people needing to take this training, and I only have 3 lines in my building.
You're recording, correct?
We are recording this call. So after the webinar, you can log into the website and listen to the call.
Okay.
Or you can dial in. Or you can dial in and listen to it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll now get started. And at this time, if your phone does not have a mute button, please press *6. We're now in conference mode, and at the end of the call, we'll ask you to unmute your lines for a question and answer session. And as stated earlier, the call is now being recorded.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
The objectives of our conference call today is to provide the participants with information regarding grant program monitoring scheduled for fiscal year 2016 to 2017. In regards to the fiscal years and programs being monitored, the fiscal years monitored are the 2014-15, 2015-2016, and the 2016-2017 year. As far as grant programs that will be monitored, they are the adult education as well as the Carl D. Perkins, better known as Career and Technical Education Grants. In regards to the topics being covered in the call, there are several listed here. I will not go through all of them, but just to name a few, we will discuss why do we monitor, what is our way of work, general enhancements to our risk assessment system, monitoring strategies and other areas of focus, as well as examples of different findings and concerns that have been noted out in the field. We're now on slide 8 if you're following us. If you look before you, it's just a few of the pictures of the Quality Assurance and Compliance team. And of course, after this webinar, in the near future, you will receive a call from each of the team leads being assigned to you. So you may ask, why do we monitor? Not because you're in trouble. At the top of the list, you see that it's a requirement at both the state and federal levels. That being said, even if it were not a requirement, it would still be the right thing to do. Monitoring provides for strong accountability that services are being provided appropriately and according to the terms of the grant, and also that the accountability for funds is transparent throughout the life of the grant. It provides you with an opportunity to correct things as you go, to improve not only your compliance records, but to bring about greater positive changes to the program as well. And just as a little known fact, it also provides us with an opportunity to recognize your good practices and share these successes with others so that they too might benefit. So there are a lot of good reasons for our monitoring program. What is our way of work? The development, design, and implementation of a strong risk-based quality assurance system is a priority of the Division of Career and Adult Education. Our commitment is to ensure that services are being provided according to the terms of the grant, and the accountability for funds is transparent throughout the life of the grant. The overall purpose of the Quality Assurance and Compliance Monitoring System is to assure financial accountability, program quality, and regulatory compliance. The risk assessment factors for the 2016-2017 year. There are several operational risk factors or metrics that go into the risk matrix that include the number of grants, the total amount of agency funding, number of grant funds remaining, the Perkins Program Improvement Plan Index. And actually, this is a new element that was added in the 2014-15 year. And we also have the audit and monitoring findings as well as the change in director. You may ask, what is risk assessment? Risk assessment is the process used to evaluate variables by assigning a rating to the provider for the level of risk to the Department of Education and the division. A risk matrix identifying certain operational risk factors or metrics is completed for each provider. Regarding the 2016-2017 quality assurance enhancements, as stated, we have the Perkins PIP, or Perkins Program Improvement Plan Index. The risk scores are then divided into quartiles, and they are balanced by weights between data elements. The quality assurance risk assessment process was enhanced and included to include all of the Perkins Program Improvement Plan Index as stated before. Using the summarized source data, information from the operational risk factors or metrics, as shown in the previous slide, The risk score was then divided into quartiles and was assigned a point value of 0, 1, 3, 5, or 7, as shown in the chart below. The assigned point value was then multiplied by a balanced weight between data elements, and it was used to calculate the average agency risk score. The risk assessment process itself, the calculation of the risk score, it is computed by the point value assigned, which is multiplied by the weight, totaling the total metric point. And the sum of all of the metric points equals the agency risk score. Slide 14, before you use a sample of a sample agency risk score that will be used for each agency and would be included in your final reports. And in this chart, it contains all of the elements that are generated to provide you your agency risk score. The risk assessment process. Although the 2014-15 data was used for the risk assessments for monitoring visits, for the fall and death visits, not death visits, but death monitoring, the overall monitoring that we will be doing covers additional years of 15-16 as well as 16-17. Occasionally, we do monitor additional programs in the geographical areas we're visiting to conserve travel funds and allow us to see more places. But for the fall, we will not be using this strategy. Important. Oftentimes, when I call and notify an agency that they've been selected for monitoring, everyone panics. We don't want you to panic. Just remember, a risk assessment score should never be interpreted as a negative reflection on the provider. For example, the allocation of $1 million carries significant more risk than $1,000. A seasoned director presents less risk than one who is new to the responsibilities of the position. Or, the higher the number of grants the provider administers, naturally, the higher the risk. So please don't panic. It is not a bad thing. Provider selection for 2016-17. Providers with the greatest high-risk scores will be monitored with consideration of the resources available. Unique circumstances often apply that may contribute to the addition or postponement of on-site monitoring or desk monitoring review for some agencies. A provider who received an on-site monitoring visit in the previous year but reappeared as a high risk on the risk assessment during the current monitoring year may be required to complete a desk monitoring review. Furthermore, a provider that required a follow-up on resolution plan from the previous year on-site monitoring visit may also be required to complete a desk monitoring review. If the targeted provider is an agency with CTE or career and technical education programs, we will monitor adult education programs and vice versa. This will enable us to reach a greater number of grants and providers and be more efficient with the monitoring process. There are a variety of monitoring strategies that are implemented based on the level of risk assigned as a result of the risk assessment process. On slide 18, you have a list of the fall 2016 agencies or providers that have been selected for either on-site or desk monitoring. And all agencies have been notified for their selective dates, as well as the programs that we will monitor. The monitoring process itself. Moving on to our monitoring strategies and processes, we use a wide variety of approaches, both before, during, and after the monitoring visit. The records, data, and file reviews are probably the most extensive activities we do in terms of the amount of time it takes. We're looking at everything from policy and procedural types of documents to personnel records, purchase orders, contracts for services, and mostly everything dealing with financial nature pertaining to your grant. We also want to personally observe some of your classrooms, especially for on-site visits, to ensure that content is appropriate and that instructors are qualified in providing high-quality teaching. Direct personal interviews with a variety of individuals that I'll mention in a moment is also a routine component of our monitoring visit. Throughout the monitoring process, certainly communications are of utmost importance. So phone calls and emails are exchanged throughout the process. You notice I've listed resolution plans here, both corrective action plans and action plans. Corrective action plans are for findings, in other words, direct violations of law. Actions are concerns. And generally, they merely concerns brought to the attention of the agency head or provider, and these are things that should be addressed throughout the process as well. And they would be included in the resolution plan. Moving on to pre-visit activities, as notifications before the visit, they include the personal phone call, followed by an email that you receive from me notifying you of being selected for the visit, as well as preparing for scheduling a date. An official notification letter from the chancellor to your school or district superintendent, college president, or executive director was also emailed via memorandum throughout the process. Today's webinar is also a pre-visit activity, and we will repeat. It will be repeated later on in the spring for agencies that we are planning to visit for spring 2017. Also, a part of the pre-visit activities, we will be in extensive coordination with your team leaders. As stated, each agency is assigned a team leader who you will hear from later on. If not today, definitely in the next day or so. Continuing with the team leader coordination, at this point, you would have heard from your DOE contact. For this webinar, we are assuming that you will be that person. But when your team leader calls you, if you want to designate someone else, that is also fine. The important thing about the central point of contact is that it's a one-to-one relationship that will be developed throughout this entire process. And we'll make sure that you have everything you need prior to the visit, so there's no need to worry or panic. Moving on to the information that is required. And these are items that are contained in the memorandum that was sent out to you. These items, as well as their due dates, were listed in the notification memorandum that was emailed to you. Please note that these items are not difficult to produce, so we're not asking you to create a complicated document or system or anything like that. Just refer to the date referenced in the notification memorandum. We will be using two monitoring strategies this fall, actually this year, for 2016-2017. We will be using the desk monitoring activity as well as the on-site monitoring activity. For the desk monitoring activity, you will receive the instrument via email from your team lead. The provider will send the completed desk monitoring instrument on the last day of the review via email or by the United States Postal Services to a assigned team lead. And the way that's going to work, we're going to send it to you a week before your designated week for the actual review so that we can make sure we have all of the information requested. And upon that time, the DOE team lead will review your information. They may call you, they may send you an email, and vice versa if you have any questions regarding that process. Once that is done, an exit interview will take place where we will notify you. And we will address the questions at the end of the webinar. We notice that we received a question for you, so we will address that at the end of the call. But after the exit conference takes place, we will then issue a draft report to you. And during that time, you will have the draft report up to 7 days to make any suggested changes or recommendations. And once we receive that, we will issue a final report. And once the final report, and there are no financial concerns, in other words, a resolution plan is not required, we can then close out the activity. And you'll receive a closure letter that will be sent to the provider. It will be the provider and the agency head. As far as on-site activities, we have an entrance conference. And listed here, we have a 1 hour maximum. Oftentimes it doesn't take the full hour, but during that time it's an opportunity for you to share with us information about your programs. It's a good time to highlight different things, and honestly it makes for an easier visit. It gives us a heads up of different places that we will see throughout the course of the visit, different programs that are highlighted, unique things, and we really look forward to it. Not only that, this is an opportunity for us to kind of recap or reiterate some of the things discussed with you on the webinar on today in regards to the process and what it will entail. During the course of the visit, we will host a series of interviews with your administrators, teachers, instructors, students, and staff and faculty. This is a great time for us to find out information about your programs and just kind of dig a little deeper and get that true insight in regards to what your programs have to offer. We will also conduct observations of classrooms. We like to get out and see what's going on in the classrooms. We're looking at safety issues. We're looking at textbooks, looking for outdated textbooks, things of that nature? Are the students interacting with the teacher? Is the teacher interacting with the student? Being attentive, things of that nature. The number of students in the class, class ratio, gender versus number, class size, things of that nature. The records review is a big component of our visit. During this time, we will spend a great time talking with administrators, looking into your policies and procedures regarding student, financial, personnel, and data. And oftentimes we tend to start this on the first day, if not the first day, the second. And generally we will slate 1 to 2 days, but in most cases it's taken more like 3. It gives us an opportunity to ask additional questions if needed, and also to give you time to ask us more questions if you need clarity and things of that nature. On-site activities continue. You'll notice here equipment inventory. Equipment inventory is a major component of the visit. And we will ask that the equipment is in line or being aligned with the Uniform Grants Guidance, referenced in the Florida Department of Education's Division of Career and Adult Education, 2016-2017 Quality Assurance Policies, Procedures, and Protocols. We'll ask that your inventories be lined up and contain all of the necessary and requirements as specified in the Uniform Grants Guidance, ECHR, as well as the WIOA. We will also conduct a Perkins Program Improvement Plan, if applicable, and also host a Programs of Study conference call, which Dr. Kathy Hammond will touch on in a few slides from here. And then the last step in the process will be an EXA conference. During that time, we will share with you any concerns or findings that we may have encountered throughout the process. And we don't like to wait for the last day to get into the EXA conference to let you know if there were any findings or concerns. What we do, as we encounter the findings or concerns throughout the process, we will be in contact with the agency head. We don't like the gotcha approach. We don't like to surprise you, so you will know beforehand. In regards to items that you should have available on the first day for the on-site visit, we want access records to fiscal years 2014-15 through the current year. We also want to look at your policy handbooks for employees as well as students. And by all means, do not make copies. Oftentimes, we visit facilities, we walk in rooms, they have bins of paper and different copies that have been made. And not only that, it takes time for someone to do that. So we ask that you not make copies. If there's anything that we need in particular from you, we will ask you personally. It may even require us coming over to your computer. We do that quite a bit. We may come to you, or you can send us a link. We may be able to pull up the source ourselves, but do not make copies. Thank you. We'll also look at handbooks and materials, attendance policies, different recruitment efforts, your brochures, general policies and procedures, ranging from data to financial, just general district policies or college policies, as well as agency policies. The first day being continued, as mentioned, recruitment activities, we'll be looking at your HC programs and brochures as stated before. We'll also look at financial policies and procedures, including those related to purchasing, your procurement, different type of purchasing or contracted services, as well as equipment. Travel and purchasing records, those are a big item as well. Local data procedures, and inventory of equipment, as stated earlier, is a big component. We'll be looking at things on purchases, grant funds, by site. Maps. Maps are a major component as well. Oftentimes when we visit sites, lately we've been assigned a person that can kind of chaperone us or kind of walk around with us to guide us. You don't have to do that. We understand that you all are working and you're busy as well. So if you could provide a map or have one available at the front office, we'd be more than happy just to grab that and kind of find our way on our own. But by all means, we don't want you to take time from your busy schedule. In regards to staff to alert for the visit, please notify your financial director, your MIS director, or institutional research director of our visit, as well as other appropriate administrators or principals. P.S., we pay for our own food and drink. We appreciate the warm hospitality that's extended to us on our visit, but there are ethics laws that we must abide by and follow. And we don't want to offend anyone. We really thank you, but if we partake, we will leave something for the item. But by all means, we must leave something, so do not take offense if we tell you that we have to pay. It is the law. And one thing I would encourage you to do is look on our compliance website and look at other look at reports that have been completed. Talk to some of your neighboring providers that have received a visit from us. Get an idea of how the visit went. We find that when you tend to do that, the visit is much more, it's easier, and it's definitely much more successful. So we encourage you to reach out to some of your neighboring providers to see how their experiences went for the visit. And we're now on slide 27, the inventory guidelines. Below you are following are the following elements required on the inventory of all of the equipment purchased. They're listed before you. We ask that you pay close attention to this and make sure that your inventory contains all of these elements. Oftentimes when we arrive on the first day, we get there, they present these inventories to us that do not contain, they do not contain the required elements. So we have to spend time waiting for the inventories to be generated and produced. So we will ask for you to refer to the laws and authorities regarding the necessary requirements for your equipment inventory and make sure that it contains those. In slide 28, I've provided a sample property inventory list. This is just an idea or a guide to kind of give you just an idea of what we expect to see in regards to an inventory. And as you see, it contains the major elements. So please look at your inventory and make sure that it has all of the required elements. I can't stress this enough, but please pay attention to this. And one other point I would like to mention, too, regarding the equipment inventory, the serial number, ID number, or tag number is what we expect to also see tagged on the equipment. When we're out in the field verifying equipment, if equipment is not tagged with a corresponding serial number or ID tag on the inventory, we have no true way of identifying unless we know what the actual item is. So we will ask that you please make sure that you have a corresponding tag that lines up with the serial number ID tag listed on your property inventory list. I will now turn this webinar over to Dr. Kathy Hammond, who will talk to you about the sample programs of study materials.
Good morning. This is Kathy Hammond. I'm with the Federal and State Initiatives team here in the division. And I've already worked with many of you, either on the Perkins RFA or on a special project. We're doing something a little bit different this year. Our team is getting involved in the monitoring visits by working with you on the Program of Study section. As you'll notice in the memo, there's a request for you to send in responses to the protocol, part of the protocol on Programs of Study. We'll be sending that to you again. The monitoring team leader is going to send you a list of things that we need, the protocol. If you look on pages 47 and 48 of the protocol, it's where the Program of Study section is. What we're going to have you do is respond to those prior to your visit and also send us materials that we will detail. There's somewhat detailed here on this list, the Program of Study form, your articulation agreement for that Program of Study, and then the narrative and other materials. What we're really going to be focusing on is the Program of Study that you submitted in 14-15 for your primary Program of Study for Perkins funding. So all the questions and materials will relate to that particular Program of Study. The memo will explain that a little bit more for you and what kinds of things that you might be sending. We'll give examples of materials and try to explain for you all the elements that you might need to include. Now, there's several of you that this does not apply to. Those of your agencies who do not work on Programs of Study with the Perkins grants, this will not apply to you. So during the visit, what's going to happen is prior to the visit, you will have sent in the narrative and materials. Me and or colleagues in my section will review those materials and look for questions or gaps or things that we need to ask for. So during our phone call, it'll be about an hour. We don't want to go over all the questions because we know that will take a long time. What we prefer to do is to talk with you at that time about any questions we might have about your responses or if we need additional information for the team to collect while they're there on site. So we will be participating with you along with the monitoring team during that one-hour conference call specifically on your Program of Study.
Thank you, Dr. Hammer. We will now continue with post-visit activities. After the visit is concluded, you will receive a thank you letter as well as an evaluation survey of how the actual visit went. And that will come from either administrative assistant or the team lead. We'll ask that you just provide just your feedback in regards to the process. We really welcome, you know, your comments in regards to the entire process and things that we could do to make the experience better. So and you could expect that generally within 1 to 3 days after the visit has taken place. In regards to the monitoring board, now we've concluded the visit, we're back in the office. The team lead will draft your monitoring report. The draft monitoring report will be sent out to the agency provider. You will have up to 7 days to complete or review that monitoring report. And as stated earlier, you will have the opportunity to provide any suggestions or feedback. And we also require that you do that in a different color. If we do not hear back from you within that 7-day period, that draft report or report is considered final. And we will then process it for final reporting status and review through our department. If there are any findings or concerns issued throughout the visit, you would be required to complete a resolution plan. And during that time, they will require, when you receive that draft report, if you have to complete a resolution plan, the resolution plan would basically have to have an assigned completion date, a person who's going to be responsible for it, and projection date of completion, as well as different strategies. And you will have to sign that resolution plan and get it back within that 7-day window in order to facilitate that process. And throughout that process, if you have any resolution activities, you will receive a monthly follow-up from the team lead. And during that time, they will send out the resolution plan and have you updated on a monthly basis until all actions, concerns, or findings are rectified. And from that point, you will receive a closure letter. But you could expect to receive a follow-up from the team lead on a monthly basis regarding that. And of course, you all can feel free to reach out to us as well. If you have any questions or concerns, we are here to assist you. Regarding the monitoring report, I touched on this a little earlier. Once the visit is done and the team is back in Tallahassee, they will then start developing your monitoring report. And prior to that monitoring report being completed, as stated earlier, you will have an exit conference on the last day of your visit. During that time, a lot of these topics that I'm going to mention will be familiar to you because these will be the topics contained in your report. During the time of the exit meeting, the team lead will present on different areas ranging from the administration, data learning environment, financial records review, just to name a few. These same items would reappear in your report, and it would just be an in-depth review of the things shared with you during your exit conference. We're now on slide 32. Common findings discovered in on-site monitoring visits to agencies. I have a few identified just during the course of the year, some key findings that we've observed during the course of the visit. The first one is the lack of advisory committees and CTE programs. These are big components, and a few of the elements for involve absence of statements, lack of advisory committee implementation and involvement, as well as lack of business and industry relationships with programs and parental environment. These are direct violations of law. They are required. So I've just kind of highlighted a few of the items. Another one is safety security findings. Exposed wires, extension cords. We all know that these are major hazards in classrooms, and they are not acceptable. We don't want to impose safety infractions, so we want you all to take care of and be mindful of those things throughout your planning years. Moving on to the next series of findings and concerns, property inventory findings. I touched on that briefly regarding the elements required in your inventory. Please take note and spend some time developing your inventory systems so that you will not be in direct violation of the law. The next one is procurement findings, ranging from a lack of policies and procedures for contracting and or purchasing goods and services. Several checks exceeding $10,000 and being signed by only the executive directors. You have to be mindful of that. We have to follow these checks and balances and make sure that we are not violating the law, the Uniform Grants Guidance, EDGAR, WIOA, by any shape, form, or fashion. So we ask you just to be mindful of these things, as these are a few of the findings noted throughout the course of the visit. Another is inadequate data quality. You must be mindful of your the time and accolade reporting of your workforce development information via WITIS. over-reporting on instructional items. These are key things that we will be looking for, as well as student record findings, having them accessible to the team when we're out in the field. And as stated earlier, I touched on concerns. Concerns are generally concerns. Concerns are things that the compliance team, in other words, things that kind of raise our attention during the course of the visit. They are not findings, but these are things that you should look into to enhance your programs. Now, I have a few of these lists, last-minute spending. Just be mindful that any last-minute spending can be frowned upon. We want our students to benefit ultimately. Lack of staff development plans. We want to know that professional development is taking place. Preparing for succession. I know we visited sites, and you've had the same people that have been there for 25, 30 years. They decide they're going to leave. No one knows what to do next. We want you all to be mindful of planning for succession. Lack of coordination among the data staff and program and financial profession. We want everyone to talk. We want everyone to talk on outdated textbooks, to name a few. Policies and procedures as well. Just be mindful of these general concerns throughout your planning. Concerns can continue. Lack of attention to off-site location resources needed, as well as websites being out of date. Please be mindful of your websites. I don't know how many times we've gone to the website for agencies, just doing research, just even in planning for our upcoming visits, and the material is dated. And some websites are even not even functioning. So we want you to be mindful of that. Also look at your store space issues as well. So where we have findings, we also have a host of best practices observed during the course of the visit. A few listed here are the innovative uses of technology. We see such great things out in the field. We are often just blown by the things that we're seeing. Varied teaching and instructional practices. We love seeing a variety of teaching methods being shared with the students. We know that every student learns differently, so we love seeing that variety, as well as continued collaboration with the business and industry. We love seeing those ties and those connections as well. On slide 38, the Quality Assurance and Compliance website is provided for you here. Here you can learn about our process. You can view prior monitoring reports. Actually, reports available from the 2011-2012 year up to the current are available there, as well as past recordings, provider training, even policies and procedures. They are all housed there for you. In slide 39 and 40, list tools and resources used that you may find helpful throughout your planning and development of this upcoming monitoring process. So if you have any questions or concerns regarding any of these, please let us know. But these tools and resources are provided here for your work and knowledge. If you have the Perkins Improvement Plan, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, better known as the WIOLA Act of 2014, the EDGAR, as well as the Federal Uniform Grant Guidance for the Department of Education's Quality Assurance and Compliance website, and the Florida Department of Education's Green Book. Now, hopefully all of these sources will be great help to you all. And listed are the Quality Assurance team, as well as our Chancellor Rod Duckworth, and the Division of Curriculum of Education Bureau Chief Gloria Spratley Brown, as well as your team that will be working with you. And at this time, this concludes our webinar, and we will now open up the line for any questions at this time.
Presentation mode is now disabled.
Tashi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. The line is now open for questions. We're ready whenever you are.
This is Michelle Taylor from Escambia County. Good morning, and thank you for the webinar. A question regarding the WIOA program. There has been some reference to it, but in the slide it does not indicate that that will be addressed. Could you please clarify for us?
I sure will. The WIOA will be addressed. If you visit our quality assurance policies, procedures, and protocols, they're in the adult section. There is the WIOA component that we will address during that time. In other words, a list of questions that we would ask of you during that visit, but it specifically addresses the WIOA component.
Does it specifically address adult or youth? Our organization only administers a WIOA Youth Services Grant.
It's just adult.
Just adult.
Okay, very good. I have a follow-up, if I may.
Oh, yes, you may.
On the August 5th memo, where it actually indicates the documents that need to be ready by August 29 for us, it indicates that it's the on-site monitoring visit for adult education programs and services, which would be our AESL grant. Are we to assume that this also covers our Carl Perkins post-secondary and secondary as well?
That would be correct.
Okay, very good. All right, that lines it up for Scambia. Thank you.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is Ann Leonard in Bay County. A question on slide number 25, where you're asking for to have available on the first day access to records for 14, 15, 15, 16, and 16, 17. Can you speak to specifically what records you want access to that day?
Yes, in regards to records, your data records, your student records, attendance policies, and oftentimes these items are contained in folders out on the physical site. But I did say that we will request of you specific items at that time, but these will be specifically related to student data. In regard to industry certifications, computers, we will bring information with us there. And during that time, we'll give you that folder and tell you basically you have to, up to the last day of the visit, to supply that information to us. But it will range from data, student, financial, things of that nature. And what we will do following the entrance meeting, we will spend some time with your agency head to kind of map out the course of the visit regarding interviews and people that we will sit with throughout the course of the visit. And
okay.
When I see different people, this will be financial. And at that time, we will share with you the different things we would like to see, such as travel documentation, time and effort reports, things of that nature.
Okay, thank you.
You're most welcome.
Hi, I have a question regarding slide number 28 and the sample property inventory list, and you identify the various elements. Can you tell me the threshold, the dollar threshold that items are to be tagged?
Yes. Yeah, you have your own threshold, but if you refer to the uniform grant guidance, we have a list of thresholds provided for you there, but you would have your own. Yes, either 1,000 or 5,000.
Okay, because I see on here there's a $451 item that's on there.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. It's just an example that we provided for you.
Right, okay.
Of elements we would expect to see.
Okay.
And of course, if you need further clarity, you can give me a call and I can assist you and direct you further.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're most welcome. Are there any other questions at this time?
Yes, my name is Jessica. I'm from Florida Skills USA. We have a desk monitoring, and I guess I'm a little confused on what it is I need to have prepared for that or how that's going to work. I know you talked a lot about on-site, but I feel like very briefly about the desk monitoring. So if you could kind of expand on that, that would be very helpful.
And this is Ronnie with FFA. We're the other student organization other than Skills that's being monitored, and I share the same concerns and questions. And I would even add to her question, if I could, the letter that the memo that we got refers to us as a college, which is inaccurate. But then beyond that, the list of items due by August 29th, literally as I look down that list from A to M, there's only one, maybe two of those bullets that even apply to us. So is there a different list that should have been sent to us for student organizations that do not have any of those elements in our business?
Yes, but I apologize about the inconsistency in that memo. We'll send you out a corrected one regarding that. But if you know the memorandum, it says if applicable. But what your desk monitoring instrument or tool will include will be a condensed version of a protocol. It's a totally separate, different document that is smaller, and that will be sent to you a week before your week is before the week that you're designated to conduct your desk monitoring review. And of course, someone will work with you closely on that process. And this is a new tool that we are piloting for our CTE programs this fall, So we are going to be open to feedback and different things regarding that process.
We are going to have 10 component areas that's in your grant for the CTSO about those deliverables.
The permissives.
Which is leadership and all other items that you have in your grant. That would be the main concentration for the desk of monitoring.
In other words, we will not focus on all of the elements that normal agency industry, not industries, but school districts and colleges would have to complete.
Well, out of fairness, would it be since this list obviously doesn't apply to us, it applies to the others on this call from school districts and colleges, and they've got this information now, or they've got this accurate list now. Can we get a list of those 10 items now so that we have the same amount of time to prepare as those that have already been notified of this list?
Oh, definitely. We can get that to you. It's no problem at all. But it is condensed. It's by no means on the wide scale of the full compliance protocol.
I'd like a copy.
You'll get one as well.
Okay, awesome.
We understand that you all do all of those areas that we focus on do not necessarily apply to you all, so we wouldn't hold you accountable to all of those areas.
You are just membership organizations, those CTSO, so you will be different than the district and colleges criteria that we have in the letters for you.
Are there any other questions at this time? Well, this concludes our webinar. We thank you for your time. Have a wonderful day.